Hi there, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits and Health. Are you feeling stuck in behaviors you haven't been able to change? Well, whether you're just frustrated about a habit or caught in a more serious addiction, if you're ready to create more freedom for yourself, this show is for you. Maybe you've tried a lot of other methods, from positive thinking to rubber bands around your wrist, from using the latest technologies with apps that remind you to not do this or to do that instead. Well, Habits into Health brings you 21st century holistic approaches to waking yourself up from the sleep of those unhealthy habits and addictions. And what we're talking about is discovering your own timing, your own needs, and your own rhythm by listening to your deeper wisdom and not just following some cookie-cutter model that might work for other people but hasn't worked for you. And it doesn't matter whether your habit is simply annoying, like wiggling your toes all the time or cracking your knuckles, to something more serious like cutting yourself, drinking too much, not eating very much to stay skinny. The truth is that all problem habits have some basic things in common. And that's what we're about, is addressing those common themes that you can use to work with any problem habit, no matter what it is. And my guess is, it's probably gotten into a vicious cycle. You want to stop, you decide to stop, and maybe you even succeed in stopping, but it doesn't last. Things that are causing some problems, like not eating enough to keep your weight down, to eating too much, hitting too many slot machines, or overspending, or just plain overdoing altogether. Now could be the time to feel more alive and more engaged in your life without having to perform, to please, to pretend, or to protect the feelings of others. And because the same principles apply to creating freedom and satisfaction from all problem habits, and at the same time, you are uniquely you, Habits into Health programs are designed to help you use the universal principles to reach your goals in your own way, to follow your own rhythm and timing. I call that letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. Now, today we're going to discuss how important it is to deal with one habit that travels alongside so many other habits, and that's the tendency to fall into blame. And so we're looking at tip number 7 for successful habit change, and that is to drop the blame game. Before we start, in every show, we prepare ourselves by actually tuning in and letting the body lead. Because if you're listening with your mind alone, it might be nice, might be interesting, but it's actually not as effective. And if you've listened before, you know that first in this show, you get a chance to practice with an experiential exercise. And if this is your first time listening in, welcome aboard. Today, I'm going to invite you to pout. Not too much, just the beginning of a pout. That's right, just humor me for a moment and make a little bit of a frown and pinch your lips just a small amount. It might mean slowly scrunching up your face and squeezing those eyebrows, and just pout. And notice how you feel when you do this. What's it like making this frown, pinching your lips? How old or how young do you feel? What do you notice about your experience of yourself as you do this? And now, slowly undo this pout. And what is this like? What's it like to soften the frown, to unpinch your lips? What do you notice happens, and what is your experience of yourself? Now, you don't need to search for answers. The questions are merely intended to invite curiosity and interest, especially in something that you probably do or have done without thinking about it very much. Most of the time when we pout, we're not thinking about how we're pinching our lips and how we're making a frown. And yet, the act of physically making a frown, it has an effect. So I'm wondering, how does making a frown shift your mood? And you might even wonder, well, why the heck would I want to do this? It's really uncomfortable. I don't feel good. And yet there's a learning here. Did the act of undoing the pouting face have an effect on your mood as well? If you begin to recognize how you have created something, particularly using your muscular self, your physical self, then you can begin to teach yourself to undo it. And that's really powerful. And doing it just once, well, it might not activate awareness. So I invite you again just to bear with me or bear with yourself and try it again. And this time, just notice if anything changes in your sense of yourself, in your mood, emotionally, or with the thoughts that happen when you put your face into a pout. So pouting involves squeezing in your head, and just a little, just enough to notice a change in you, but not so much that you bring yourself to pain. A little discomfort can be okay, because that can be an opportunity, a doorway for learning. But a lot is probably not, because it won't help you teach yourself about this connection between muscular action and mental or emotional energy. So you can compress your lips a little bit and notice the tightening of the space inside your head. That includes inside your mouth and behind your eyes. Now, okay, that's probably enough. So slowly unsqueeze your forehead, soften in your mouth, and do it slowly enough that you feel a difference, you feel a change. If you move too quickly, you'll miss yourself on the way down. It's like taking a series of steps down a stairway, one step at a time, softening and opening, and noticing the effect this has on you. You know that image of you're walking down a stairway and entering the grand ballroom, let's say, very, very slowly, making your announcement. Well, when you do it slowly, you notice more of yourself. Now, what's the feeling that comes on board when you soften yourself? There's no right feeling. There's no wrong feeling. I'm not seeking for you to find something specific. But there is your feeling. Knowing your feelings at a level of experience beneath words and thought is really invaluable, because it's through experience that we change ourselves. Insight follows experience, not the other way around. And this takes us right into today's topic. So just take a deep breath. If there's any residue of that pout or that frown, you can just soften some more. And if you notice it coming up again anytime during the rest of the show, just take a deep breath and soften and notice. So tip number 7 for supporting the changes of behavior that you're seeking, this is what I call drop the blame game. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I started my own healing journey, well, more than 30 years ago. I've been supporting people just like you who are dealing with habits both big and small as a holistic therapist and addiction specialist. You're listening to the Habits into Health podcast, which I started to carry a message of possibility for you and everyone who feels stuck in habits and behaviors that you struggle to change. The Habits into Health programs, which include this podcast, bring you 21st century approaches to habit change, addiction recovery, and personal growth in general. These perspectives support you in your path to transformation and freedom. If you're feeling stuck and frustrated about a behavior you haven't been able to change, click on the link at habitsintohealth.com to get a free self-assessment questionnaire. It'll get you started, and I'll send you my newsletter once or twice a month to support you in continuing the journey. Let's talk about an important aspect of changing a habit that creates problems for yourself or others, or successfully mastering an addiction that really has you in its grip. When I first worked as a chemical dependency counselor in a hospital program, we used to talk to the patients about the blame game, because we could see that in every one of them. And maybe you know a little bit about this too. So ask yourself if this sounds familiar. When you're unhappy about a behavior that you do, and that's even if you joke about it or say it's no big deal or tell other people to back off when they complain, there's probably some element of negativity and blame going on inside you too. At the least, some anger at those other people. There's some level of blame. And sometimes we don't notice it around the behavior itself. We get there when the consequences show up. So what happens for you when a behavior that you do ends up with consequences that you don't want? You might enjoy the drinking the night before, but the hangover, not so much fun. Or eating that piece of pie or those cookies might be great in the moment, but the weight gain that comes afterwards might not be fun. Or maybe a relationship ended, a friendship or a more serious relationship, because somebody you like didn't want to be around cigarette smoke. Or your consequence might be that that cough won't go away. Or the dip in your bank account from playing too long on the slot machines. Or the feelings you have after you've yelled at your spouse or your kids one more time. So there's usually a lot of blame going on. And it turns out that that blame goes both ways. Here's something to try out. For an example, just raise your hand right now and point a finger towards someone or something. You might be sitting in the mall or on a street. Just point. Just for a moment. Hold that pose just long enough. And without changing anything, notice the direction of your pointing finger. And then notice the direction of your other fingers. In most cases, when you point at someone or something else, those other three fingers are pointing back at you. And that's how the blame game works. When you're angry at someone and accusing them, you're pointing back at yourself with your anger. When someone else is doing the same, they're living with the consequences of their own feelings. So what happens with the blame game is a universal theme. It rides alongside most other habits, and it's a habit in itself. It also makes it a lot harder to deal with your primary concern, that habit that you're dealing with that you'd like to change. In fact, it makes it nearly impossible. Because as long as you're in blame, feeling bad about yourself because you haven't successfully fixed your problem, or you're putting yourself down, or even calling yourselves names, as long as you're feeling bad about yourself, as long as you're in blame, that's going to be a barrier to dealing with your primary habit. And that includes even being in blame and anger at other people who remind you of your desire to change, even if they don't intend to, even if it's not really their fault, like your kid who you promised to take to the movies, but you don't follow through because you were caught up in your habit. And so now just being around your kid reminds you that you disappointed her or him and that you disappointed yourself. And it has an effect on your relationship with your kid. So how do you drop the blame game? A lot of people suggest doing affirmations. You know, saying things like, I'm wonderful the way that I am. I can be loving and kind to myself. It turns out, I'm not recalling right now the research, but I read this recently, that affirmations don't work unless you're already feeling positive. Or affirmations don't tend to work except for people who are optimists. So if you're caught in the blame game, an affirmation can actually backfire on you. I'll do another podcast at another time about how to make affirmations work for you in a different way. But for today, what we do know is that it helps to get reinforcement from others. Because when we're down, having support from someone who's not helps. That's one reason so many people go to self-help meetings, because the support is such a great reminder of the possibilities for your future. Another thing is, these days many people subscribe to inspirational newsletters, and that can reinforce your best self. One good resource is dailygood.org. Or you can find resources on Facebook that have beneficial messages. Search for Rumi on Facebook and find one source that you like. And then you'll receive messages reminding you of something good about yourself, something real and authentic about yourself. These are good things to do to get support. What I know as well is that making the connection between your blaming thoughts and how you're using yourself physically is very practical, because it's actually easier to soften a muscle in most cases than it is to soften a thought. The brain is a very ephemeral organ, and muscles are a little bit more form. So if you realize that you're caught in the blame game, trapped in blaming yourself or others for the situation you're in, start by noticing any tension in your mouth, or your shoulders, or your hands, or anywhere else. And then give yourself a chance to practice undoing that tightness or tension. Untighten, and become aware of this relationship between what you think and what you do. I'm not going to pretend that this is going to be miraculous at first, even though I have certainly worked with people who really felt this strongly the first few times that they did this. For most people, though, sustainable change happens by developing small changes incrementally over time. So a one-time miracle, not as likely. But it can feel very satisfying to even make small changes. So getting reinforcement is really helpful. Dropping the blame game might happen more easily if you allow other people to help. So if you got some value from today's exercise, just tune in every week for reinforcement. Down the road, I'm going to talk about the responsibility game, and I'll also do, like I said, a show on how to make affirmations more likely to work for you. And if you want personal support in creating your own individual path to freedom from your problem habit, you can find out more by going to habitsintohealth.com/get support, and that's get-support. I'm going to sign off for this week. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I've had a great time talking about the blame game, even though the blame game itself is kind of a drag. To really name it, to know it, and to not blame yourself for doing it, but to take action now in noticing how you live that in your body and giving yourself reinforcement in a variety of different ways. That's exciting. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and you know, we start small and we practice kindness along the way. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. So thanks for joining me.